introducing somebody, this is one you absolutely need to know introduction. Linda Dutton has been active on behalf of our welcoming congregation and in the social concerns arena, not only here in the church, but throughout the community. And she will share with us some of her personal observations and thoughts about the subject this morning about UUs and activism. And I'm going to let Linda come forth.
Thank you, Linda. I wanted to have Linda introduce me because I really wanted to thank her, as she's been the chair of the Social Justice and Social Concerns Committees for a number of years now, and I know we work together closely, and I really have always appreciated her partnership today, leading the service as well. So good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here. I know I tend to speak quickly. I'm going to try to slow down. But if you see me getting revved up, which I will, just wait. That would be helpful. So what makes us activists? Why do we do all this social justice work? What are our personal motives and how might they be related to being a UU? Well, this huge question could lead us in so many directions. And at UUCR, many of us have agreed to narrow our focus to personal and local concerns. We don't want to go global all the time. And that leads us to a logical motivation. We may be able to help our own community as well as find benefit for ourselves. We also hope to focus our activism to reflect a combination of our hearts and our heads, working together whenever possible. Let's try to think deeply beyond the predictable platitudes of do unto others or I want to make the world a better place. We don't need to overthink our reactions and actions, yet with so many possible topics and ways to get involved, it makes sense to find the best fit wherever possible. So we UUs are familiar with the saying, deeds, not creeds. And this UU saying requests that we consider our own basis for doing the deeds. We don't just automatically move into action because of some rule or belief system that's imposed upon us. We usually try to think before we act. And we recognize the human inclination to help one another is a universal behavior. We could debate whether this helping instinct is part of our biological adaptation for survival, or taught by elders who model their own religious norms from history. And both of these reasons may be true simultaneously. UUs, though, don't generally share the same concepts of religious life and beliefs regarding afterlife's rewards and punishments. We may even consider our lives to be totally insignificant in that given the fleeting second of our stardust here on Earth. We are in this great universe, and our lives are really pretty small specks. On the other hand, we may decide to totally immerse ourselves in the pains and pleasures of this lived world, as it is the only conscious time and life we believe we have. All kinds of ways to think about why we do what we do. So another way that UUs might be different is that we are more likely to see injustices through a wider or different lens than conforming to the more traditional religious groups. Where we see injustice, others may see no problem at all. UU activism work may range from equality rights for many kinds of minorities to correcting human-created problems affecting our natural world. Whatever the activism topic, there's usually an opposing activist group. They want to maintain their power on the status quo. And that opposing group may even want to return our nation to a previous time in history. UUs are typically motivated to move ahead in time. We're not into turning back the clocks. We believe in respecting the power of a living, dynamic, and changing world. We seek growth and personal change for ourselves. And I'd like Bob Orr to share a story with us that illustrates that. Please, Bob.
When we started this, Linda asked me to respond to this one question. Do you need to be an activist to be a Unitarian Universalist? When I first heard that question, my first thought was that, I don't consider myself an activist, but I do consider myself a UU. My second thought was that I can't really, my opinion really can't matter to the rest of you here. But I thought I would try to answer the question. The first thing I did is I went on the internet and tried to find out what is an activist. And it came up with a few short definitions. An especially active, vigorous advocate of a cause, especially a political cause. A person who campaigns to bring about political or social change. A person who campaigns for some kind of social change. An activist is someone who takes action in support of or opposition to a cause. They also listed a few synonyms that I found interesting. Militant, protester, advocate, objector, campaigner. Then I asked myself, am I one of these things? Am I an activist? I guess I've always associated the activist term with the militant, vigorous, advocate, protester. And I'm not one of those. The only time I protested before moving here was back in the 90s for the first Gulf War. I joined a group and we distributed flyers and so forth. Went down to D.C. to watch or to participate in a protest march. But I have to be honest, I was really disturbed by that protest march. We were protesting everything, not just the pending war. We were protesting gay rights, homelessness, food, which are all worthwhile to protest for, but we were supposed to be protesting against the war. After moving to Chestertown and finding the UUCR, I joined the Social Concerns and Social Justice Committee, and I started change, and I don't know why. For several years now, I've participated in the UU Legislative Ministry in Maryland. I even, a couple times, went to Annapolis to lobby our legislatures in support of Death with Dignity legislation. I've taken the diversity training course that was here offered by Rosie. I participated in our UUCR Building Bridges program with the AME. I joined the Chestertown Social Action Committee. I tried to, for 2 years, tutor elementary school kids with the Emmanuel program. I'm a member of the UUCR Strategic Planning Program and also the Financial Committee. I don't know why this change occurred, but I have to admit, I am an activist. Not the militant, vigorous advocate that I picture as a true advocate, but I am an activist today. But what about tomorrow? To be honest, my activism has not resulted in any known results that can be. And this can be discouraging, but this can be destructive. Do I think UUs must be activists? I can't answer that question, but if you embrace and believe in the principles of dignity, justice, equality, and compassion, you can't sit idly by in the absence of those ideas in our society.
Thank you very much, Bob. That was lovely, and hope it helps all of us to begin to think about ourselves today. So most of us here take pride in continuing to educate ourselves about the larger world. Most of us read or listen to some daily media update, and yes, it's often NPR. We hear the reports describing chaos, injustice, pain, and often preventable tragedies and injustices throughout the world. And this news is not usually based in Kent County, but it may influence and touch our neighborhoods, our work, and possibly our homes and families. What in the world are we to do with all that information overload of problems everywhere? It's so understandable to feel overwhelmed, especially given the dramatic changes in our nation from the ideals and leaders we valued so highly not very long ago. How can there be such polarization about everything? We UUs are often stereotyped as the far left cult. We really are. And honestly, I don't see us that way. And I think maybe the one of the reasons we might become more actively involved is to help others see UUs as the more moderate, democratic, and rational folks I think most of us are. But most of us choose to act to address some specific and personal situation. Most UUs live in our lovely upper middle class, rural settings, and
We get to choose our battles.
Rather than to have to live with a constant struggle for food, jobs, or money to pay the bills. And because we're usually sheltered in our predominantly white, well-educated communities, we are comfortable when trusting one another when we have a problem. We know there's a support system of helpers around us that are good and well-meaning. That's just who you use are, you know. But we are a very privileged few. We get to choose what we react to, what injustice, if any. We can easily respond to a request for walking in the breast cancer walk for Aunt Susie. And other times, we just make it so upset we want to do something in a reactionary mode, such as our feeling about guns in schools and what we're doing today. These are all valid responses. My social justice work began as I felt a personal need, almost at that point, was a survival need to find out more about what to do with our chronically ill 2-year-old. I know I was motivated more by my self-centered needs to understand than by my motivation to purely help others. I started a parents group and began to advocate for families. Many of us have that common entrance to becoming involved as a reaction to a new family dynamic. Having your adult child choose an interracial marriage, take a job in a distant land, you know, or tell you you just can't figure anything out because you're too old to understand. That'll make you react. So most of the time our reactions are a combination of wanting to help or protect, but also wanting to learn about a problem. I think we are rarely purely altruistic in our chosen work. We might be helping while simultaneously feeling some self-pride, or even morally or educationally superior to those we are helping to work with. This is a danger sign. You don't want to feel morally superior as you're doing your helping work. We might feel like we're experts for almost any topic, but we still refuse to take any stand on a side. And because we know there's usually two really good sets of arguments for and against these things, or maybe three or four. But, you know, we are the powerful norm, the status quo, the top of the food chain, if you will. Notice I didn't specifically call out white males here, but people do. And we're all a part of a privileged group, women too. That's the stereotype of you use. It just is. When you look around the room, it's pretty true. Honestly, I don't know, most of us don't know much about the experiencing the common constant problems and systemic injustices throughout other folks' lives. We try to side with love, but we may be misdirected in our intentions without even realizing it. So it's interesting, there was recently a change of the UUA from the slogan that was standing on the side of love that we've been talking about for a long time to simply side with love. And that was brought about because several UU leaders who were the leaders with disabilities that we were all working together with had to point out that that standing word really made them feel less than and made them feel less respected and excluded because they couldn't stand. So what a simple fix to change, take out the standing and just say side with love. I mean, if all problems are so easily fixed, then obviously that's not even fixing all the disability issues, but it's just so easy to overlook the outcome of your good intentions. And I think that's something we need to slow down and think about. So we're asking you to listen to our thoughts today with the intention of helping us determine, as a local community church who places a high value on participating in social justice work, what we might find as a congregational-wide goal. Remember, one of our slogans for this year is building community. And you are us. And our committee is part of this in-house committee, this big in-house UUCR community, and we value your viewpoints. We're not asking you to analyze what we have done in our committees, but we're hoping you will help us identify a common area of social justice work that we can share church-wide. And we may need to educate ourselves first to get on the same page about the motivations and plans, but we will certainly be drawn together as we work with others and offer some deeds that we could feel all good about and all understand what we're doing. This could be a common path for our church work. So activism work is more doing than simply talking. Talking is certainly part of community building and education, and we UUs are great at that part. Activism is the next step after talking. It involves working with others, others who may be also trying to make a change, or working with the folks who've been negatively impacted by the injustice. First, we must truly understand with deep listening one another's motives, and then decide if the work at hand is something we can get behind or not. This is often where our disagreements begin and show how hard it is to work and communicate together. Other lessons we learn in social activism quickly are the devil's in the details, and you better get the results you get better results when you start with a defined goal and a specific plan to get there. I think of this as the smoke and mirrors part of social justice and activism work. Most of the times, the injustice we address are camouflaged with a whole bunch of smoke, red tape, history, and emotions. I mean, you can think of the NRA violence clouding our and NRA facts and figures clouding our heads, and then our hearts feeling that we know something is wrong with our culture of guns, and we must do something about it. Another difficult subject that is full of smoke and mirrors is the years we spent on protecting women's reproductive rights. And recently, UUs are beginning to dive again into probably the biggest elephant in our UU world, white privilege and its impact on the inequities in our American culture. This topic includes addressing economic and educational disparities, cultural expectations, and individual rights, responsibilities both hidden and unaddressed, inadvertently ignored prejudices, generational differences, and on. For me, it's not only the topic of now, but it's the foundational basis of a more just future for our entire nation. We white folks have been handed a really big mirror to look carefully at ourselves and see ourselves in another way that may be different from our assumed experiences and see how the other side might see us. We are barely aware of how others have been seeing us for generations. The smoke and mirrors of the topic go back before the founding of our country. And while I thought I understood, I think I'm barely understanding the impact and the scope of skin color on our world. As Abram Joshua Heschel quotes, racism is man's greatest threat to man, the maximum of hatred for the minimum of reason. So almost more important, or as similarly important, as whether activism is a measure of our faith is whether our faith prepares us and strengthens us to campaign for justice in big and small ways. Are we prepared by our faith to be strong enough to look in our mirror of white privilege? Some lovely thoughts were shared by our friend Nathan Troyer. He said, "I'm an activist, a universalist, a humanitarian, because healing heals my life, because of the benefits for my family and for creation. I am an activist to participate during this time I am on this planet." And our faith tradition was born out of activists, people who committed their lives to bringing about social, political, and spiritual transformations. We often see activism as protests in the streets, meeting with our legislatures, and our challenges to discriminatory laws. But it's also the creation of music and art to share the truths that cannot be captured by words alone. It's our annual TDR vigil where we say the names of folks who killed the prior year due to violence against transgendered individuals. It's the preparation of lunch for our Rebuilding Together crews. So yes, I do believe that Unitarians need to be activists, but it's not for me to say either. That's where I'm coming from. I feel you need to love actively in the face of a broken world. Participation in activism work addresses our basic human need for self-acceptance and affirmation from others. And you're sure to find surprises along the way. No matter how different you are, we all grow when we reach out to one another. To many, the greatest gifts to ourselves are found in our experiences shared while being an activist. This is maybe why some of us become activist junkies. And we enjoy testing those growing edges of life, and we need that to truly feel alive. And I love that burnout stories and the recovery stories, because those are true too. On the other hand, let's be honest and respectful about who we truly are in this community. Not everyone is interested, willing, or able to participate in social justice welcoming work in a big way. We're a small and rural congregation and community. We're all getting older, many of us are. And we've all been, some of us leaders have begun to question how much longer we can carry on. Should we keep pushing our very lineup of on very topical areas and ask our committee leaders to just carry on because we're doing a great job? Or would we feel more supported and strengthened if we designed a church-wide plan that simplifies and shares our activism opportunities to include all UDCR members who chose to join on a focused project? The Unitarian Universalist Association asks its member congregations to welcome and value diversity of sexual and affectual orientation, gender identity and expression, race and ethnicity, ability and disability, class, educational background, age, and citizenship status. And that's a lot just for the welcoming congregation to be working on, right? And add on to that the growing range of topics that we may find full of potential injustice actions, especially in recent years. So I think we need to think creatively for a moment. Would each of you consider not giving up what you're doing in your own social justice mind and world, but perhaps thinking about adding something in there that might bring us together and help us all learn as a congregation more about what we might be able to do that makes sense and helps heal our hearts and identities at the same time? We hope to find that kind of a consensus around here. We're not sure how it's going to happen, but we want you to think about it this morning. So, as the Michael Jackson sings in his chorus, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself. One way that the dominant culture of Unitarian, its Universalists, does itself a disservice is operating under the assumption that activism is meant to change them, not us. There continues to be the idea within our roots and our dominant culture that there's a resistance to the strands of persistent white supremacy, heterosexualism, classism, and ableism we really can still see. But we see a shift in recent years from denial to acknowledgement, and that shift came at the price of significant energy from several brave leaders. And frankly, we just almost look at ourselves. So as Jackson sings in the next phase, make a change. The Unitarian Universalists engage in activism often in a one-and-done approach. This world of activism, both in transforming ourselves and the world, is not simply making one change. It is a persevering and committed effort to make sustained changes throughout all of our life. This is not to say we can't celebrate our victories and our potlucks and pause to take care of one another, but by all means, we could feel more as a community if we look together, try to find one common set of eyes. So thank you for your attention.